Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for thevikingage.com. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Shad. He writes for us here at the Viking Age, and he also writes for Zone Coverage and Bring Me the News. All right. So yesterday, Sunday, bright and early, the Vikings kicked off week four with a nail biter of a game, squeaking out a win over the Saints in London, England. The double doink heard, I guess, across the world because it was over in England. So, crazy game. Vikings squeak it out. They're 3-1. They're doing well. They're doing well. Second week in a row, they needed, you know, some last second magic to get a win. And yeah, they're 3-1, first place in the NFC North. First month with Kevin O'Connell seems to be going pretty well. Chris, I just want to get your just general reaction from everything that happened yesterday against the Saints.
Well, it wasn't pretty, but it was a win. And I think there's two groups of Vikings fans. Like, watching it, I was just like, why aren't you doing this? Why isn't this working? Why isn't anything working? And then at the end, it's like, oh, okay, we won, right? It's like kind of, again, we like wrestling references on this show. The heel, you know, champion or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, he pulls the foreign objects out of his trunks when the ref isn't looking, and, you know, mm-hmm. he pins him, and, you know, maybe he's got a manager, and like, this is like Kevin O'Connell running over the timekeeper's table and grabbing the belts and getting the hell out of there and like flipping everybody off on the way out of London or whatever. You know, this is a cushion the Vikings haven't had in the standings anyway. In several years. I think it was 2019. That was the first year they actually started like this. And do you feel like a 3-1 team? Not really. I think there's a lot of things that need to be sorted out, and we'll talk about that over the context of this show. But I also think that the Vikings are in a much better spot than they were at this time last year or even 2020. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard to get upset knowing that they're 3-1 and that they can build on this. And you know, it's a hell of a start to have. So I guess we'll just see where it goes.
Yeah. Like you said, wins. This is, you know, wins in the NFL equal the same. This isn't college football where it matters like how much you win by or who you play.
Or if you lose to Purdue at home. I don't know. Sorry.
wins are wins in the NFL. If you beat every team by 1 point and you win 12 games, you're still going to be, and you finish first in the NFC, you're still going to stay first in the NFC because you won those 12 games. It's not going to matter if you win by so many points or you beat the Packers twice or whatever. Wins are wins in the NFL. And I think that's the kind of the point that I feel like Kevin O'Connell's been trying to get across his team. At least it seems that way from like his post-game speeches, where he's like, these games, you know, they're coming down to the wire, but we knew that was going to happen. But, you know, we've been able to come out on top the last 2 weeks. And the teams that they've beaten the last 2 weeks, you know, they're not the greatest, but it feels like they play hard. The Lions, especially, the Lions are scoring points like no team in the NFL right now, and they can't stop anybody, but they're still going to give you problems. And then the Saints were pretty feisty yesterday, even with Andy Dalton in there. You know, maybe the Vikings had something to do with keeping them in the game by not being able to score enough touchdowns and just kicking field goals all day, but they stuck around. Even with, I was kind of impressed with Andy Dalton, and I'm just gonna say this out here, and maybe this will just piss people off right away. I feel like Kirk Cousins was outplayed by the last two quarterbacks in the last 2 weeks by Andy Dalton and Jared Goff, because something's off with Kirk Cousins. You can agree to disagree or whatever, but but he just doesn't seem right. But at the same time, when the Vikings need him to step up and lead them down the field for a game-winning drive, he's been up to the task, and that's not something we've been able to see from him in the past.
Here's what I think about Kirk Cousins. Like, I think he's a very cerebral quarterback. We know this, right? Yeah. Like, when he is on,
just Triple
like
H.
He's very good, like pre-snap and stuff. That's just kind of what he does. And then, you know, to add this whole new offense, like think back to OTAs. Everybody was talking about, hey, this offense is awesome. Like, there's like Cooper Kupp roll, and Adam Thielen was excited, and Kirk Cousins was like, I gotta have flashcards, and and he said it's the same old offense, but I mean, he's talking about putting in flashcards, and he's like, I had this throw in practice, and I wasn't gonna make that throw, and Kevin O'Connell came to me and said, you should make that throw, Kirk, and like it just seems like Kevin O'Connell's goal was to make him play with a quiet mind. But like Kirk got like a death metal festival going on in there right now. It's just like, you know, and like when that happens, it's like, I'm going to throw to the wheel route to CJ Ham, or I'm going to do all these other stupid things. And his accuracy he's rushing throws. He's doing, it just feels like he's thinking out there on the field. Mm-hmm. And when he's thinking, that's when he screws up. That's like the game in Philadelphia where he's like, oh my God, I'm in Philadelphia. The lights are on and everybody is super loud. You know, even in like, you know, the Detroit game, it's like he's overthrowing receivers. Mm-hmm. He's missing guys. He's overthrowing. I wouldn't go as far to say he was outplayed by Andy Dalton and Jared Goff. Those guys are system quarterbacks doing what's in the restraint of the system. But Kirk Cousins is in the same way too, in that he can get a little bit more out of that system than those two can. So,
yeah.
I guess they're all kind of equal quarterbacks. He's having trouble to kind of adapt to this new scheme. And that's partially what's holding the Vikings back. He's not the only one. Like I'll point that out right now. Like Justin Jefferson ran a wrong route against the Eagles. Jalen Reagor ran around wrong route on Sunday. Like you could see like a lot of people on this offense are like, ooh, and it's kind of got John DeFilippo vibes. Where you're trying to do all these things. And then on Sunday, they went back to getting CJ Ham in there more. They went back to two tight end sets. Like it wasn't every snap in the shotgun. They try to do things to make Kirk comfortable, which is annoying, but that's what you do. That is Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. I think you could say that he's uncomfortable so far this season. Maybe not the first week. Even the first week, there are some things that you could say he was uncomfortable with. But it seems like Kevin O'Connell is trying to eliminate him from having maybe those easy checkdowns that he's so used to, and just kind of forcing him to look downfield. Now whenever Kirk seems to have a checkdown option, he frequently takes it. You've taken the example yesterday of Thielen just kind of coming across the middle. Yesterday, I think they were in a goal line situation. It was like 3 yards in front of him. Jefferson was wide open in the back of the end zone in the right side, and he opted to go for Thielen just because he was there. I don't know why, but I think Kevin O'Connell wants Kirk Cousins to get to that point where he's not even looking at Thielen in that situation, where he's just looking downfield, whether it be at Jefferson or at KJ Osborne or at Irv Smith down the field. And I think maybe Kirk Cousins was a little burned by taking some of those chances in week two against the Eagles, and he's kind of been hesitant to take those now. But at the same time, he's at the end of the last 2 weeks, he's been able to do what they need him to do and drive him down the field. So when he has to get them down the field, he can. But it seems like during the middle of the game, when the Vikings have the capability of pushing their foot on the gas pedal and adding a bunch of points, he kind of just goes through the motions, and they're left with a bunch of field goals like they were yesterday. So there's still plenty to improve on. I like the fact that it feels like Kevin O'Connell is forcing Kirk Cousins to do things that he's not used to, and his stats aren't as good, but guess what? They're 3-1. And when his stats were good, you know, a few years ago, even last year, they weren't good. So like, I would much rather have Kirk Cousins throw for 15 touchdowns and 11 interceptions in a season and the Vikings go 12-5 than have him, you know, throw for 5,000 yards and the Vikings win six games. So
Can I bring up something though about the first four games? Because I mean, you said in general, hey, at least they're winning these games, right? They are winning them in the same way that they won with Mike Zimmer.
Yeah.
Where it was, I mean, it's Phil Mackey brought this up. It's like scripted. Like they're going to go out, they're going to have an awesome first drive, then they're going to kind of run into some turbulence, then they're going to get some points, then they're going to, you know, get a big lead in the second half, and the other team's going to come back and it's going to be a little, and then razor's edge. Like it's just back and forth. And like I looked it up actually for an article at Zone Coverage. So the average margin, which however many points it was decided by win or lose in Vikings games over the last 4 years, 2018, it was 11.8 points. 2019, it was 11.5 points. 2020, it was 7.9 points per game. 2021, it was 7.2 points per game and 14 games decided by one possession. I looked at victories too over the last 2 years where Kevin O'Connell was in Los Angeles. The Rams had won their games by an average of 11.9 points, so nearly 12 points per game. The Vikings, 7. It's just they.
You mean to tell me they're playing the same with the same players?
Yeah, who knew? And here's the thing. I think what the Vikings did, and maybe even ownership, was just like, okay, we have these players. They were good once upon a time, right? 2017. Yep. Of course, nobody thinks of that 5 years ago because 5 years ago is like a football eternity. Like you have dog years, like NFL years are like by 10. So like everybody's like 50 years older right now. But like, I think the Wolves looked at it and they're like, well, we could blow up the roster. It's going to take a couple of years to get back to where we want to be and whatever. Or we could change the coach because these games are so close that maybe it is one decision that goes the other way. But like Kirk Cousins said in the win over the Packers last year, like they just keep playing on the razor's edge. And it's like things go. So it's like Dalvin Cook fumbles in Cincinnati and the Vikings lose. Then you have another game where, Cardinals. You know, Detroit, the Cardinals game, you know, Greg Joseph misses, but you also like people look at those games that the Vikings lost and they said, well, if one thing goes different, they could win them. The Vikings also could have been a train wreck last year if they had lost some of the games that they were supposed to win. The Pittsburgh game, they had a 29-0 lead and it would have been tied going to overtime if Pat Freiermuth hauls in a catch at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. Both Lions games.
Yeah, both Lions game. Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Lions in particular, that's win and lose. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, Kevin O'Connell's looking right now going, yeah, we're 3-1. We're winning these games. This is great. But that pendulum's going to swing by the other way, and it almost did. I mean, Harrison Smith gets kicked in the balls, and the Vikings have to call a timeout. And I was proud of myself. I saw that right away. It's like he fell on his shoulder or nothing. I'm like, no, he's grabbing his balls, man. He got kicked in the nuts by Cam Dantzler. So, I mean, I'll do anything to win, but wear a cup, I guess. But
it's better than Chris Boyd running into you and snapping your leg in half. But, you know, that's another story.
Was he the guy on that play?
Mm-hmm. He's the one.
But it was hilarious. The team thought it was hilarious. I shouldn't say that.
It was the one he. No. Oh, are you talking about Harrison Smith?
Was it Cam?
Chris Boyd was the guy who was on the Lewis Cien play. He's the one who knocked Lewis Cien in the air.
That's what I was wondering, yes. But Cam Bynum kicked Harrison Smith in the
call. It might have been a combo of Bynum and like the Saints player or whatever. But yeah, I liked all the tweets like Harrison Smith was in hitting a sensitive area. And I'm like, guys, come on.
You can say groin.
We've seen way worse on Twitter. We can talk about where he got hit. Say he got kicked in the nuts, like
kicked in the groin. That's easy. Like I'm only saying balls because we're on a podcast. So I mean,
yeah,
and it's funnier that way.
It's funny because like, they had to call timeout and he had to get out of the game because
he's like, no, seriously, he's right. He's probably embarrassed at that point. He's just like, dude, do not call timeout. Yeah, but
I kind of think. That might have worked out to the the Vikings' advantage because the Saints, they tried to run. They could only throw to the sideline on their next few plays.
But how much time would they have had if they were in a no-huddle situation? Would it have been? That's
true. They would have had to spike
like
the ball.
They could have spiked the ball with 3 seconds and then attempted the field goal. But, I mean, Dan Campbell hands you a win last week. You get a double doink this week. that stuff's going to go against you if you don't start playing the right game. So
yes and no, like, because I feel like this was the other way was with Mike Zimmer. I don't think they win this game with Mike Zimmer. I don't think they win last week's game with Mike Zimmer. I think
they use the same playbook at the end.
Yeah. I think
run, short pass, run it all the way down.
Run on third.
My defense will take care of this.
I just think the differences that Kevin O'Connell is making are less obvious, and they're just coming through on the record. Because I don't think Greg Joseph makes that game winning kick if Afri misses extra point, because Zimmer's staring through his soul. I don't think Kirk Cousins is coming back the last 2 weeks with this team because of, you know, how poorly he played before those drives, because Zimmer would like eat him alive too. So I think like Kevin O'Connell's approach to be like, it's okay, this happens, you know, shit happens, it's football, just focus on the next drive. And he said in the post-game speech about Greg Joseph, like, you know, you already made 4 field goals, just go make one more. And like, that's not something you would hear from Mike Zimmer and be like,
right,
oh, we're gonna go for it on fourth down because Greg can't make an extra point. So I think that stuff that's like less obvious has made a difference for the Vikings, and that's a big reason why they're 3-1. Yeah, they got to clean some stuff up, but again, this is the NFL. Like, blowouts, especially this year, are very infrequent. Like, every time a team goes up by like 14, you see the other team come back. Like, the Bills were down what, like 20 to nothing yesterday or something like that? Mm-hmm.
I think it was 17. Came
back. Yeah, and they came back. Like, the Vikings were down 14 2 weeks ago. I believe the Eagles were down 14 yesterday. So, like, the way the NFL set up, where, like, the passing is mostly the center of every offense, it gives teams that ability to come back a lot easier because you're stopping the clock a lot more. So, yeah, there's stuff to fix, but I think that Kevin O'Connell's making a difference, and I don't think they win these games with Mike Zimmer that they've won so far this year. Maybe we'll be proven wrong, or I'll be proven wrong, but just looking at the Vikings' performance on Sunday, just specifically that against the Saints, what worries you the most coming out of that game?
Oh, I mentioned it. I think it starts going the other way. You know what, too? I mean, Dalvin Cook doesn't look good.
No,
and I mean, part of it might be the offensive line, although I think they're getting good grades in run blocking right now.
Yeah,
so
they're good. They're good at run blocking. Yeah.
And I think too, there was a stat like Dalvin Cook's expected yards were like negative 36. Like, oh, wow. he was like super low. I don't know, man. I don't think he has the same jets as he has in years past.
Is it a like different scheme? Are they still doing some zone?
Yeah.
Zone blocking stuff.
And
but
I mean, there's
totally
a little bit of that, but I mean, if the line is run blocking as well as right. PFF says it is, like, right, this shouldn't be a problem. So, yeah, I mean,
cause Madison's doing pretty good. He's having a
Madison
good
scored a touchdown. Dalvin did not. I'm a little bit concerned. I need to see Dalvin start breaking some runs here to kind of feel better about it, but he's turning into kind of Adrian Peterson, where it's like 2 yards, 2 yards. Mm-hmm. We haven't even seen like a 70 yard run yet or whatever, but I think
let me ask you this. Javonte Williams with the Broncos went down yesterday, lost for the season. Former Vikings assistant general manager, now the general manager for the Broncos. If he calls the Vikings before the trade deadline, who are you willing to give up? Madison or Cook, if they want either one?
I feel like Cook would get more, right?
Yeah, he'd get you more for sure. But are you willing to part with him?
See, there's another dynamic there too, because he's like a team leader.
He's a captain.
So, I mean, yeah, dealing one of your captains at the trade deadline, if you're in
not
contention,
really good luck.
It's not a PR move. I don't know. I mean, and there's plenty of season left. Maybe this is just another member of the offense working out the kinks right now. And maybe Dalvin bounces back in a couple of weeks and he has a big game and everybody's like, okay, Dalvin is back. But I mean, yeah.
He's still getting like 20, at least 20 touches a game for the most part, except for the Eagles game, but that no one really did well that game. But I think he had at least 20 carries yesterday. His average is just not that great. And he had a couple yesterday where and looked like he was going to break, and he got like tripped or whatever. And
yeah,
they're there, and he's just, and I think the Vikings know it, and he knows it, like, but, and they're hoping that's going to come eventually, but so far it hasn't. But yeah, I think the Vikings need to take like a real good, hard, long look this offseason to see if they want to keep Dalvin Cook around or see if they can move him, because first off, he's going to have a large cap hit next year. And I don't think this regime is really that interested in paying running backs the amount that he's going to be due.
I think next offseason is going to be really, not just for Cook, but like for everybody. Like, and I always make the comparison between the Vikings and the Wild, but it's like a really easy one to do it because Bill Guerin rolled into Minnesota and he was just like, all right, let's see what this core is. Yeah. Like, I mean, it had partially been broken up by Paul Fenton, who traded Nino Niederreiter and I believe Charlie Coyle, and then he didn't get much for either deal. But
could have made that up. I wouldn't have argued with you.
Yeah, he was just sitting back. He was looking, and then all of a sudden he's like, all right, this isn't working. And he just like took a sledgehammer to the damn thing. Like, that could be Kwesi, because you can save $7 million by cutting Dalvin Cook next year. I think Adam Thielen looks fine right now. I wouldn't get rid of him, but his cap numbers to the moon as well. Harrison like Smith. There's a lot of players right now you can look at and be like, okay, we need cap space. See ya. But
Harrison Smith, Eric Kendricks, Daniil Hunter, like all these guys could be gone next year. What makes you optimistic about the Vikings moving forward after watching yesterday's game?
That they're winning games despite not having their best game.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's it, but I don't know. I'm a little bit worried that this is kind of fool's gold and a fake three, like a paper 3-1 as opposed to,
yeah. Yeah. Know. It kind of has some of those feelings. Yeah.
They're winning games.
I would after yesterday's game, I would say that because of the double doink. But even that, that would have just tied the game. So they could have gone in overtime.
Right.
And won that game. And against the Lions, they executed a game winning drive and they got an interception on the Lions last drive. So they deserved that win. I feel like they came down, they were trailing. But yeah, there's some times where you look and you're like the against the Packers, yeah, they look great. I don't know what the Packers were doing. I don't really think the Packers are that good either. I would say that the Packers are bigger. Maybe if you want to call a team a fluke 3-1 team, I would lean towards the Packers. They struggled to beat, what, a fifth-round quarterback yesterday, fourth-round quarterback. They barely beat the Bears.
Here's a question for you. Which team right now are you looking at going like, that's a legit team? Because I think it's Buffalo. I think it's Kansas City, and I'm not 100% sure about Eagles. That. And the Eagles.
Cowboys?
I don't know about them. I don't know. Like the Eagle. Okay, the Eagles play in the NFC East, and you can dock them for that, yes. But, I mean, they look dominant. Mm-hmm. Like they look like they know what the hell they're doing. Dallas, it's like, we beat the Giants and we beat the Commanders, or is it the Steelers? I don't know. Those uniforms were awful, but you know, I watched the Cowboys and I'm just like, I don't know. Giants are a paper tiger.
They are. The Rams.
They're a counterfeit 3-1. That's the word I was looking for.
I think the Rams can be 3-1 tonight if they beat the Niners. So there's, as much as we look at the Vikings and we're like, yeah, you know, are they really like a true 3-1 team? I think most of the 3-1 teams are like that around the NFL. They have plenty of holes to pick at and fix. So I think this next month will really show us if they're serious. And the next month of schedules seems like it's much easier for the Vikings than it was the first month.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we get off this game, did you see the Lewis scene injury? Did you watch the video?
Yeah, he looked like he Madden glitched.
It was like
that doesn't I mean, I'm not trying to poke fun at it by saying, but like, it was
weird. There's two videos. Like, you see both of them?
No, I've just seen the broadcast one.
There's one from the stadium where they showed it on the Jumbotron, the stadium. Much closer look. Not that fun to watch.
No, I bet not. No, it was weird. I don't know how he wound up like airborne. Because like that's what it looked.
Because Chris Boyd hit him. That's why. He was blocking with Seen and he dove his shoulder into the Saints player and he hit Seen instead and knocked Seen off his feet. And
so
that's
friendly
how,
fire.
Yes, that's how he got airborne and then his foot got caught in the turf. So I don't want to blame Chris Boyd for it because that's just a freak injury. You don't expect his leg to break in half when he lands on the ground, but maybe don't lunge your shoulder at someone when you're trying to block them on special teams. My next topic. Maybe don't take your helmet off after you recover a fumble on special teams, like you just won the Super Bowl.
Is it on the gram yet, though?
Yeah. Well, speaking of Chris Boyd, after yesterday's game, he apparently he wasn't looking on the internet, but he somehow got upset by people on the internet because he tweeted this. We've got some ungrateful fans. I don't be on the internet looking for shit, but we won and some were still complaining. We got a big dub. We 3-1 STFU, also known as shut the fuck up. Please find another team if you're not satisfied or shut the fuck up. Crying face emoji. So here's a few things. If you can't take fans complaining about a team that's not perfect after the 3-1, then maybe you should find a new team because, you know, you're going to get criticized unless you're the, 2007 Patriots or the 1972 Dolphins and you go perfect every year. So, and Chris Boyd, maybe his message is good. Like the purpose behind his message, maybe he's like, listen, guys, we're 3-1. We know we made some mistakes and we're going to try and fix it. But, we're 3-1. We should be happy moving forward because, yeah, there has been some teams that are like, or some people online that have been like, this team is terrible. How are they even 3-1? And okay, that's fine. But they're 3-1 and that's what matters. But he definitely didn't say it in the right way. And he's not the person to say something like that because all it does is just bring negative attention on him, negative attention on the team. And it's just not a good look. Like, this is supposed to be a different team. This is like some Bashaud Breeland type stuff where you go on Twitter and insult the fan base for no reason. Like, come on, man. Like, this is, you're supposed to be an adult playing like for millions of dollars. Act like it. Don't be doing this.
I
sound like a dad after I just said all that.
I know. I'm trying to get off the social media, dude. Yeah. Like, the whole thing's just funny. It's like, I don't go looking for shit on the internet, but I saw some shit on the internet, and now I'm going to go post shit on the internet because I'm mad. Like, there was this tweet I saw over the weekend. It was like, Kodak Black always has, like, the right idea but the wrong delivery, and he's, like, dressed up in all pink, and, like, it's supposed to be, like, a breast cancer thing, and the caption says, I support breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Chris Boyd, because I think he's right. He's like, hey guys, we're 3-1. Like, yeah there's stuff to work on. There's stuff to do, all that. He recovered a fumble yesterday. That was a good thing. And yeah, he took his helmet off, which, I mean, that.
Did you see Patrick Peterson next to him? He was like, whoa, 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 put your helmet back on. Like, you could see him being like, whoa, dude, you're going to get flagged.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure, you know what? I'm sure he's a great locker room. He must be a decent dude.
Like
everybody seems to like him. Yeah.
Fun guy.
Just, it's funny when he comes out in public and, like, you know, he's talking about tight buttholes with the old staff or, like, you know, this whole thing, like SDFU to all the fans right now. It's just like, dude, like, that is not going to get any fans on your side. If anything,
I posted that on the Viking Age Facebook page and everyone was like, I agree 100%. I'm like, what? But that's also Facebook. Facebook is a whole nother animal. But yeah, like, it's just there's no need for it. This you got a different culture, a different vibe. Maybe he feels more free that he can do this. I definitely don't think he would do that if Mike Zimmer was still the coach, because Mike Zimmer would have, like, fined him and suspended him. probably if he did that. Also, shouldn't he be thankful that he actually even has a spot on the Vikings? I know he's playing pretty good on special teams now, but if Andrew Booth wasn't dealing with like a knee injury or a ankle injury this summer, would Chris Boyd even be on the team right now?
He's got a quad bruise.
Right now, yeah, but in the summertime.
There's a Herb Brooks quote I can think of about Andrew Booth, but I'm not going to say it.
Oh, Mike Zimmer would have a field day with him. Field day.
Herb Brooks in Miracle, one of his lines was, the leg's a hell of a long way from the heart.
Oh, no.
That seems like it would be a Mike Zimmer quote if sure. He was working with Andrew Booth
framed,
right now.
It's which, framed in his office.
And you know what? He's probably hurt. Like, I mean, you're hurt. Yeah. You're hurt. You can't play. I mean, Unless you're Tua Tagovailoa, they'll just drag your dead body onto the field, apparently. But
the Dolphins would have played Lewis Cien on the next series. He would have
been right there. Get in there, bud.
The Dolphins, the NFLPA fired the independent doctor because he made some mistakes, and I'm just like, you think?
I'm sure Dr. Nick will land on his feet soon enough.
Yeah, but everyone's like, but they're independent doctors, we should trust them, they don't have any ties to the NFL. And it's like, is this your first time? Like, all right, let's move on off this game, off of injuries, off of Chris Boyd, see if we can cool down a little bit. Let's do some grading of the first month of the Kevin O'Connell era. He's been with the Vikings now for more than four meaningful games, four regular season games. The Vikings are 3-1, looking pretty decent. I believe the defense ranks 12th in scoring, and the offense is like 15th in the league in scoring. So they're doing some good things points-wise. Just looking at the offense, what letter grade would you give the Vikings after the first quarter of the 2022 season?
You know, it's funny. The Vikings are actually ranked lower in points right now than they were a year ago. They're 15th right now, 14th last year. I would say they are a C. You could maybe even say D with the expectations that were placed on them. But like you said, this is the same team, so it really shouldn't be surprising that they're kind of struggling and kind of just tick too slow. I think they'll get better. And once they did, like Justin Jefferson, probably a B+. I wouldn't give Justin Jefferson an A.
No.
Like,
no.
I think he's been awesome and he's been torching guys, but I mean, there's been some drops. There was that game in Philadelphia and Detroit where he got shut down overall. And then you got Kirk, who's just kind of like overthinking things right now. Mm-hmm. But I think they'll get better. I would give them a C right now. I'll grade on a bit of a lenient curve.
I'll give them a C+. I'll just be a little more optimistic because, I think they're going to – I feel like they've shown flashes, like a bunch of their opening drives. Clearly, they do well on the scripted plays. They have to work better on the other drives where they have the kind of ad lib. But I like this new offense. I like the how many times have we seen the Vikings run a play on the goal line with five wide receivers? Like, this is all like foreign, as much as it's foreign to the players, it's foreign to all of us too. So we're just like, we don't really even know what to expect still. So I think they're figuring out what to do. The players are figuring things out. The coaches are figuring things out. So I'll give them a C+. I think they showed enough flashes. They've made a bunch of exciting plays that I feel like they've got a bunch of potential to do well moving forward. And like I said with Dalvin Cook, like, he's been so close to breaking one, and he's tripped up on a foot or tripped up on a shoelace or whatever. So I think that gets taken care of. What about the defense? What letter grade are you giving the defense after four games?
C-.
Oh boy.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I was talking on my podcast, the Homer Horn, today, and I got to the defense. I'm like, I'm not really mad. Like, I mean, I don't think they played lights out, but I think we've been spoiled a little bit by defense because of how good it was under Mike Zimmer in that 2016 to 2018 stretch, maybe even 2019, you could argue, where, you know, they would just suffocate teams. And once that kind of fell apart, it's like, defenses usually aren't like that. They're elite. Like, those defenses are elite for a reason, because it doesn't always happen. Right. So, I mean, the Vikings, yeah, could they get a couple more stops? Yeah, sure. I mean, that last drive was a little bit discouraging, and it got aided again because Harrison Smith got kicked in the groin area. But yeah, I mean, I mean, this defense, I was never expecting this to be a lockdown unit. So the fact that they held the Lions to 24 points, you know, the Eagles only had 24 points. I mean, I know they had some bad moments in that game, but for the most part, I mean, it wasn't like the Eagles hung 40 on them. They shut down the Packers. Like, I don't know, C minus. I wouldn't call them a train wreck.
I'm going to go C plus again because I think there's some areas where you could definitely give them like a D or a D minus. Like yards wise, they give up a lot of yards. 27th in yards allowed, 26th in passing yards allowed, 23rd in rushing yards allowed. But the whole point of their system is like the bend don't break. And there's been a couple times where they've broken a bunch of times yesterday against the Saints. But for the most part, like I'll read you these rankings for them right now for the Vikings defense. And you might be a little surprising. So 12th in points allowed. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Second best in passing touchdowns allowed. They've only allowed 3 passing touchdowns. 13th in points allowed per drive. 11th in third down percentage. And 17th in fourth down percentage. So like there's some things to be happy about with this defense. There's plenty not to be happy about, but like I said with the offense, I think they've got a bunch of time to figure things. Not a bunch of time, but I think over time they will figure things out and maybe patch up some of the yardage things. But that's what they want to do. They want to give you like they want to get you in the red zone and then put you in shorter yardage situations because they feel like that's where they do best. They're not going to do their best when you're on your own 30 and you have 70 yards of field to work with. That's just not what this defense is built for. But I'm also a little worried about the pass rush. Danielle Hunter, I know he's been graded well with PFF or whatever, but he hasn't really made that big of an impact this year. Maybe it's because he's standing up or whatever or whatever. Za'Darius Smith's been pretty good. He didn't play a lot yesterday. That's why he didn't put up as many good numbers. He still got a sack. But they need some more pass rushing help. We can't have Dalvin Tomlinson being the guy that leads this team in pressures. He's a defensive tackle. Come on. Special teams. What grade are we giving special teams?
I would give them a B+. Yeah. Like I think they've been pretty good. I mean, I know Joseph missed a couple of kicks last week, missed a kick this week, but I mean, I think the way that they've handled their special teams have been good. Ryan Wright, I haven't seen a punt yet where I'm like, oh, he screwed up, you know? Right. So, I mean, there's been very few moments where you say, oh, they screwed up. Like Chris Boyd, I guess, breaking Lewis Seen's leg could probably go into that category, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, punt coverage, kick coverage. I think they've been good. I don't think they've allowed really a long return this year. Punting, yes, is good. Ryan Wright's been a pleasant surprise. I don't think we really knew what to expect from him because he's an undrafted rookie, and I don't think a lot of people even expected him to make the team. Craig Joseph, yeah, he missed those 2 kicks last week, but they were what, from 56 yards away, and there was a tornado apparently in US Bank Stadium coming through the doors, but yeah, he's been a pleasant surprise. The Vikings rank 2nd in opposing starting field position. The opponents have started on the 23.6 yard line. That's something that, like, I don't think we think about as much, but that's very important, like, for your defense, for, you know, your special teams, whatever, be able to pin a team back and make them drive even farther. So I think the special team has been really good. I'll give them an A-. How about that? Because we haven't seen a punt return. We haven't seen a kickoff return. And I think we're just waiting to see that. Kevin O'Connell. We'll just do this grade for Kevin O'Connell. And then we'll get out of here. What do we think? What does he deserve?
A-.
Ooh. Wow.
I don't know. I don't think it's a smile.
Is a smile. That's why you may mind.
Well, I think it's just been a little bit of changes that we've seen, right? And I think they've all had a positive impact. So, like, you were talking about him talking to Greg Joseph and being like, dude, you've made 4 kicks already. Don't worry about that one. Like, next one's going to win the game. Like, you know, Mike Zimmer probably would have been cleaning his gun on the sideline during his last attempt. Like, just kind of, you have to think Mike Zimmer is somewhere like watching these first 3 games, like seeing a double doink and being like, come on, you know,
why can I get
are
those
you
bounces?
Serious? You know, I mean, the special Matt Daniels, I think, has done a really good job managing the special teams. I think that some of Kevin O'Connell's clock management could use work after the last game. But I mean, overall, it's been fine. A-, B+, somewhere in there. Maybe B+. I'll go B+. I don't want to give out any A's because this isn't like a gangbusters team. You know what I mean?
Right. But the 3-1 is pretty good. Yeah. I'll give him a B plus. Yeah, I'll give him a B plus too, because I think like you said, the clock management still needs some work, but this is the first 4 games. I'm not surprised by that stuff. I think he's still learning how to do all the call plays and manage the entire team at the same time. I think he's got a lot of help. He hired a lot of people. I think that's proving to be a good decision by him. I think the training staff that they brought in is really good. I'm not so sure about like what he had to do with that, but like their approach to practice and even when they went to London, they left like they were only there for like 60 hours or something because they didn't want to mess up their time clocks and their body. Just like all this innovative stuff that was not going to happen with Mike Zimmer. And it's proving to be good because there aren't a whole lot of players that are hurt for the Vikings. They seem to be very happy every week. You know, it seems like a dumb thing to say, but this team needed someone to let them smile when they come to the building every day. Like, even after a loss, like, it's not the end of the world if you lose a football game. Like, we're going to fix this and, like, move on forward. And his approach to the media, have we seen him get mad in the media yet? I don't think so. Like,
no.
He's, even if he disagrees with something, he'll just be like, I could see that, and then like go on to his answer. But like, he has not had, and you know, Chris Thomason and the normal guys have tried. They've tried to like poke at him and stuff, but I've watched some of his like X and O stuff that they have on like Vikings.com, and I'm like, he is a better analyst than anyone who works for Vikings.com, and he's gonna have like he's gonna be like a TV analyst when he already was. He's gonna be one when he's done coaching, probably, if he wants to, because he's very well spoken. He could probably even be a politician with the way that he speaks about things, like just so evenly. He doesn't throw people under the bus. You know, he's always like he's putting things on his shoulders, whether he deserves it or not. Like, there's just so many huge differences that don't seem that big, but really are. And they've made a big impact on this team. And I'm really happy that he's the Vikings head coach. Hopefully he won't make me regret that moving forward. But so far, so good. And I guess just
5-12.
Just the last question I'll have for you. I said that one was going to be the last, but the last one is, judging from the 4 games that we've seen already, what do you think the record is that the Vikings will finish with this season?
Looking at the schedule, 12-5.
That's what I have.
I think they'll win 12 games. I mean, I'm not counting for the pendulum swinging back to them, but I mean, I look at the schedule and it's like, what games scare you? Like, trip to Miami, that's a big one. Trip to Washington scares me, if only Kirk Cousins.
The field.
I am afraid of Kirk Cousins going to Washington because that could be like an overthinking game for him.
Awakening some ghosts.
Yeah. Trip to Buffalo. That's going to be a tough one. Patriots is tough, but I think you'll win that game. I mean, going up against Belichick, that's always hard.
Hey, do you think?
And then you have to go to Green Bay, which they are going to be a better team by the time we see them again. They'll get everything figured out. Dobbs is starting to come on. Lazard is starting to come on.
Watkins even caught a touchdown.
They'll get it figured out. Who did?
Or Christian Wilkins or whatever. Even he even got
Christian
a touchdown.
Watson.
Yeah. He even got a touchdown yesterday.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, do you think in the Thanksgiving pregame show they'll mention at all about Kevin O'Connell, how he used to be the quarterback for the Patriots under Bill Belichick? Do you think they'll mention that at all?
Here and there. Maybe just like Adam Thielen's
Kevin O'Connell, who used to be with the Patriots. Yeah. I have the same thing. I have them losing to the Dolphins, Bills, Packers, and on the road to the Lions.
Okay. I could see that.
But then I looked at 538, who does like a bunch of analytics stuff, and they have the Vikings. Their win probability is higher than their opponents in 10 of their next or final 13 games. So that would have them finishing with 13 wins.
Could see that too.
So it's looking good. And the Vikings have finished. This is the fifth time the Vikings have finished 3-1 after their first four games. They made the playoffs every single time before that. Danny Green in his first season started 3-1 with the Vikings in 1992. And let's see. So I got some more 3-1 stats. Five of the six NFC teams from last year were 3-1, made the playoffs. And the Rams won the Super Bowl. They started 3-1. So starting 3-1 is good. That's what I'm just trying to say. Unless it's 2018, because only three of the teams who started 3-1, three of the eight teams made the playoffs in 2018. And a team like the Jaguars started 3-1 and finished 5-11. So there's that too. But it's looking up. I'm excited about this team. Are you excited moving forward?
We'll see what happens the next couple weeks.
You're such a Minnesota sports fan.
I want to see improvement. And once there's improvement, then I'll start going, hey, we can do this. But
we can't get our hopes up until they are raising the Vince Lombardi trophy on the stage. Like, that's, I think, when Vikings fans would be like, okay, all right, we can stop being so pessimistic. But yeah. All right. So on Thursday, we will be back with another show to preview the intense rivalry against the Bears, who might throw more than 10 times against the Vikings. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to our channel, like this video, follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. And if you're looking for the audio version of this podcast, it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts. So go check that out. That'll be available in the morning. But until next time, Chris and I will talk to you later.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.